Next on BYUSN, the transfer portal hits BYU's men's basketball program hard. Three key players enter over the weekend. What's our reaction and expectation for potential returners? Plus, former BYU basketball star Jonathan Tavernari joins the program to discuss Pope to Kentucky and how he expects BYU to regroup from this coaching damage.
BYU men's volleyball player Tyler Herget will be with us live right here in Studio B as the team prepares for a big matchup against USC in the MPSF tournament. And did BYU earn its biggest Big 12 win over the weekend in Norman? We'll discuss.
Down goes OU. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is tax day, Monday, April 15th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who, frankly, in the spirit of the Titanic, would never let Leo go.
No.
Jason Shepherd.
And by Leo, we're talking about AKA Jack from Titanic. And why are we bringing up Titanic? Besides, there's always room for Leo on the door. Didn't they do they've investigated this. They said there is room on the door that Rose could have let Jack on the door if she weren't so selfish.
There's plenty of room.
Yeah. The reason we're bringing this up, not just because we love to talk about the fantastic movie that was and is Titanic, but today is National Titanic Remembrance Day.
Indeed it is.
So that's why we start things off with a little Leonardo DiCaprio.
How many times did you see it in the theaters?
Two or three times. Yeah, okay. Two or three times.
It was the cultural event of the century.
96, right?
96, 97, 97, I believe.
Bigger. What was bigger? The movie or Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On?
Ooh.
Because I feel like you got sick of one or the other pretty quick.
Well, in the moment, it was the movie. After time, it very clearly became the GOAT, in my opinion, Celine Dion, and My Heart Will Go On.
By the way, there will be no Celine bashing on this show. This is a pro Celine Dion show, okay?
Hey, listen, I know it's National Titanic Remembrance Day, and I know many of you feel like, gosh, BYU basketball is kind of like the Titanic. They're going down. We're here to tell you. There's always room on the door for Jack or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
It's not over yet, baby, which takes us to this. Rise and shout. On a Monday, it's time for What's Trending. The Mark Pope era is officially over in Provo. Pope headed to Kentucky.
Well, anytime you lose a coach, there's a danger that some players may want to look at other opportunities.
What's Trending, sponsored by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Let's just briefly recap what the heck happened in the last 3 days and then get into the meat of this and, more importantly, what the heck BYU's going to do next since Friday. Of course, Mark Pope becomes official at the University of Kentucky. He's there to hang banners. Don't know if you heard, Jason.
20,000 were in attendance.
He's there to hang banners, okay? Dallin Hall enters the transfer portal from BYU shortly thereafter. BYU's most important player, in the words of his former head coach, Mark Pope. Then Ali Khalifa hops in the portal on Friday. BYU fans, I had one specific friend text me and say, okay, I understand Down and Ali, just not Richie. Just please not Richie. Richie is my spirit animal. I can't handle it. Richie Saunders hops into the portal on Sunday. Brutal. Okay? Now, this is, I know it feels like the Titanic. There is still room for these guys to come back. So, Jason, initially, as you look at the timeline of Pope to Kentucky and those three players entering the transfer portal, what is your reaction to all of this madness?
Not surprised, but hoping that it wasn't going to happen. And I put this out on social media almost once we realized, while it wasn't official that Pope was going, that it was going that direction.
Sure.
To me, I tweeted out that BYU's going to make a good hire.
Yes,
they have enough good candidates that they're going to get a good person in to take over the reins of this program. To me, the story was always going to be who stays, who goes, what the roster looks like.
Sure.
And so you knew in the back of your mind that when change, look, there was a chance there was going to be some people leaving even if Mark Pope stayed. Not because if we heard anything specifically or not, but that's just the nature of college athletics right now.
100%.
So you couldn't even guarantee everyone was going to come back even if Mark Pope stayed. So when you have a change like that, you have to assume there's going to be some sort of shakeup from a roster standpoint.
It's never an easy thing, one, to lose your head coach, but certainly when you lose potentially the likes of I think BYU fans would say, along with Jackson Robinson, these are three of the four most important pieces of last year's BYU
100%.
Basketball team.
Can't agree more.
Because of the roles that they played. Dallin Hall, I know, like, and sometimes in clutch moments, fans really criticized him because it didn't go, but more often than not, he got people in the right place at the right time. He was integral to getting the BYU machine going. He was the engine. Ali was like this magical glue guy. And to lose him with his assist to turnover ratio and all the things he opened up in that offense, that hurts. But my gosh, the Energizer Bunny. Like, that was like...
that one hit me to my soul.
It felt like the final blow almost, right? Where it's like, not Richie. Anybody but Richie. Again, there's still room for these guys, and I say these guys, potentially multiple, to come back to BYU. But Jason, naturally, it all depends on who BYU hires.
Yep. That is the number one thing. All of this, I had a lot of people reach out over the, like, just BYU fans. Like, well, we're seeing all these other schools getting their commitments and people are transferring. Like, when are we going to, well, you're not going to hear any of this until BYU gets a head coach. Nobody's going to commit to a program if they don't know who's going to be running it.
And everybody wants it right now.
Yes.
This is BYU. Okay, they take their time, due diligence. But that's not saying they can't do it on an expedited timeline for BYU.
And it doesn't mean that things aren't happening now.
Correct. And I believe there are
things
happening.
People think that because there's no news means nothing's happening, and that's not the case.
No, there are things happening. I can tell you in confidence, there are things happening. Interviews are taking place, and they did on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now into Monday. Those things are happening for sure. What is the ideal scenario for BYU to keep these three critical players, or at least one, maybe two of them, when it comes to the head coaching hire? Jason, I can't help but want to revert to something that we saw from BYU football, and that is, and we've gone through the candidates. Okay, let's recap briefly, shall we?
Yeah.
Like, the guys that are out there. Mark Mattson is done.
Yep.
He doubled down. He's at Cal. Yep. Like, even though he's a candidate, it's not happening.
That one is not happening.
He is staying at Cal. They want to build something there. He's only 1 year into that contract. Clearly, he's not going to be the guy for BYU. After that, Chris Burgess is a name that has floated to the top of the list. And his lineage, playing for Mike Krzyzewski and playing at Utah and then being a member of Mark Pope's staff, it feels like he's a favorite, if not the favorite.
Right.
And then Barrett Peary is a guy that had time at Portland State and knows the area and is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he spent time in the Big 12 as an assistant at Texas Tech when they went to the national championship game. He's been around the Big 12. After that, assistant coaches in the NBA, Jason, I don't know. Quincy Lewis is a name that's popped up, former BYU basketball assistant under Dave Rose. He's done great things at the high school level. To me, whatever it is, if you're going to hire a first-time head coach, I feel like you need an associate head coach. Just like they did with Kalani when they brought in Ed Lamb as a former head coach to be the associate head coach. And Jay Hill is the associate head coach for Kalani now. I like that system. I don't know what it's going to be, what combo of that it would be, but I feel like that's how BYU, realistically speaking, best case scenario, could bring one or multiple of these guys back from the portal.
Yeah, and that's what all of these other moves, whether it's guys leaving, whether it's guys coming back, people from outside the program coming in, none of that stuff can be solidified until the head coaching hire is made. And we're talking about getting everybody up to speed. You know, there may be people that aren't up to speed on where some of these guys are at least saying they're considering.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
With a guy like Ali Khalifa, this came out over the weekend from Joe Tipton, and he said that Ali Khalifa's finalists are Kentucky, Louisville, and then a return to BYU. So it's good to see that a return to BYU is still in the mix.
You're telling me there's a chance.
By the way, Kentucky, Louisville, BYU. Mm. Not bad, right?
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
Now, earlier today, we had a report come out from Travis Branham, and he mentioned Dallin Hall. And he said that quote, BYU four-star transfer Dallin Hall currently considering the following schools. The source tells 24/7 Sports Portal, Creighton, Clemson, Cincinnati, Florida, Washington, Utah State, and then a return to BYU. So those are the schools, according to Travis Branham, that Dallin Hall, the common denominator between the two, BYU still in the mix. Now, we've not seen anything from Richie, in terms of what schools have contacted him.
We saw his statement, though, which clearly said there's so much uncertainty and unknown.
But BYU being in the mix, you assume, is on the table.
Yes.
So all three guys that are in the transfer portal, I'll ask you, and you kind of touched on this a minute ago, how many of the three that are currently in the portal, how many do you expect to be back?
Ooh. Again, it depends on who BYU hires as their next head coach. Let's just throw out a hypothetical. Let's say that it is Chris Burgess as the head coach. And we'll throw out the associate head coach narrative for the moment and just focus on Chris Burgess. If Burge is the guy, one, I feel like it would certainly help calm some nerves from specifically Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders, because they know Chris. He was involved in the recruitment of those players with Mark Pope. I know Burge's been gone for a couple of years, but he was here when those guys...
Those relationships were already built.
Wanted to choose BYU and ultimately chose BYU. So if we're singling in on a number, I would say if he's the guy, at least one of the three comes back to BYU. At least one.
See, I think if Burgess is the hire here, if that's ultimately what BYU chooses to do and they hire Chris Burgess, I think you're getting both back.
Really?
I think it's very realistic that you could get Richie and Dallin back.
I'm hopeful. And by the way, I know a lot of people are fed up with the, I hate the state of college athletics, and these players are just, they only care about themselves. Think about it if it were your son or your brother or your family member.
Think about your own job.
You.
Yes.
Hey, if you are told, hey, we don't know what your job's going to look like in the immediate future and who your boss is going to be. But come back. Don't go anywhere else. And you have all these other suitors that are like, hey, we have a coach in place. We have these. Dallin and Richie and Ali did what they had to do to protect themselves.
And we need to get past
I'm not mad at them at all.
Yeah.
Like I said it on Friday. I 100% understand why they have to do this.
We need to get past the college sports aren't the same narrative. They're not the same. And that genie can't be put back in the bottle.
No, it was released years ago.
So that those days are gone.
Yes.
And as much as we want to romanticize what used to be, that's just what it is, what it used to be. That's not how it is now.
For sure. Okay, so if Burgess comes back, you think there's a great chance to get both?
I would say that there's a good chance you could get two of those three. Now, Khalifa has no connection whatsoever to Chris Burgess.
He is a Mark Pope guy.
Yes, 100% he's a Mark Pope guy. I firmly...
But he did love BYU. He did love his experience at BYU.
I interviewed Ali Khalifa last week. For an upcoming Deep Blue podcast episode. I know he loves BYU. We talked about it. So it's sad that he's in this situation. But again, everybody's got to do what they got to do. But if Burgess is the hire, I think there's a good chance that you could get
both
two of those three back, being Richie and Dallin.
Okay, I would love that scenario. I guess just. I'm trying to throw on some realism goggles blue goggles.
You don't want to be disappointed.
Yes.
Trust me.
Managing.
That's how my entire fandom works. It's just preparing for the worst.
Managing expectations. Guess what else is in play here? NIL. Specifically for a guy like Dallin Hall. Like, Dallin deserves more, and they're probably, I'm sure, the Royal Blue Collective is working to offer him more, but some of these other programs are going to come in with big numbers. That is another factor. And frankly, if you get a big number from a big-time program with a head coach that wants you and is solidified, it's going to be tough to say no. But if Burgess is hired, and maybe is the associate head coach thing goes along with like Nick Robinson. What if Nick Robinson is still on the staff? Or you're able to bring in a couple of these guys off of your want list.
Yeah.
Then you really, really amp up the opportunity and chance to bring back both guys. I am thinking if Burgess is the guy, at least one, hopeful like you, that two could do the trick. These coaches would bring back two, and that certainly would help BYU. Oh, my gosh.
If you can, when we're on the other side of this, okay, so this is obviously hypothetical. The hire is made, whoever the hire is. If you can get to the other side of that, and you can keep at least one of the three that are in the portal now, plus keep your recruits that you have now.
Colin Chandler, by the way, Burgess.
Two of the three. If you can come out on the other side with that, you are in great shape based off of what it could have looked like.
Yeah. The other side of that is losing all three.
Losing everybody.
And then losing a big recruit in Chandler. I believe that Chris Burgess is the front runner. I think that he will be the guy. Don't know for sure. And that's speculatory on my part. But I believe that he will be the guy. And I think that's a great move because then, yes, the Colin Chandler situation also is a scenario where Chris Burgess played heavily into recruiting Colin to BYU.
Yeah.
And he's coming off of a mission. I don't know, Jason. These are interesting times. Like, everyone's been saying, wow, your job is really crazy right now. And I'm like, we love this. As much as we hate losing coaches, we do love a coaching search and everything that comes along with it.
Do we really love it? Do we? Look, let me tell you. So now, granted, I realize that not everybody that's tuning into this show, whether they're watching it or listening to it, is local, meaning in the state of Utah. But there's quite a bit that could be happening this week in the landscape of sports.
Yes.
BYU could be getting, well, we expect we'll be getting a new coach this week.
I'd be shocked if it's not done by at latest Friday.
Yeah, so getting a new basketball coach to lead BYU into its second season in the Big 12, and the NHL is coming by the end of the week into this local market.
This is a
big, big week.
Let's go. It's Mailbag Monday on BYUSN. Huge show. You have a lot of questions, understandably. So let's get to some of those on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Send in all of the questions today, because not only are we going to do our best to discuss them and answer them, we're going to ask some of them to our guests as well. This is a conversation for all. Farmer Hiram on Instagram asks, how do expectations change for basketball if the three transfers do leave? Heaven forbid. But if the three transfers do leave, then how are your expectations modified for year two of the Big 12?
Oh, I think it changes it dramatically because, as you mentioned, you're talking about three of the four most impactful players on this past year's team.
Yes.
So it can't. How much does it change? I guess we'll have to find out once we get to that point. But there's no question about it. Expectations change when you lose that much production, and not just production, but in everything. You mentioned it. Khalifa was the one that facilitated everything. Obviously, Dallin, his position as a point guard, obviously did too. But, I mean, look at all. Take all of the wins BYU had last year and then take those guys out of the mix.
Oh my gosh.
How many does BYU get? There's your answer.
It's rough. These three guys, I think BYU is 5 to 6 wins fewer. No kidding.
Yeah.
5 to 6 wins fewer if none of these guys come back. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
BYU Baseball hosting Utah Tech tomorrow night at Miller Park. You can watch it on ESPN+ or listen to the game at 8 p.m. Eastern time on BYU Radio 107.9 locally and the BYU Radio app.
After the break, a guy who has a few opinions. Jonathan Tavernari joins us, the former sharpshooter, on how he sees BYU keeping the program momentum intact and the path to bringing back at least one of these guys. This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with a loaded Monday show. This is your BYU Sports Play-by-Play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepard, joining us now to join the conversation about Mark Pope to Kentucky. And three key BYU players in the transfer portal is former BYU sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari. JT, welcome back to BYUSN. Happy Monday. I know this feels like kind of a wake or a funeral of sorts for a lot of BYU basketball fans watching what's transpired over the weekend. How are you feeling mentally after watching Mark Pope become the next head coach at Kentucky and the likes of Dallin Hall and Ali Khalifa and Richie Saunders all enter the transfer portal?
I'll try to answer that in a few different parts. First of all, the way that they received Mark Pope at Kentucky at Rupp Arena, I actually played at Rupp Arena my freshman year on the NCAA tournament against Xavier.
Yeah, special
it's
place.
Unbelievable place. We actually got to go to a couple of different practice facilities there. We got to go to a couple of different courts. Amazing place. And but his reception and then the history behind it, coming off the bus with the trophy, you know, I think in all of this, I don't have any type of negative or ill feeling towards Mark Pope at all. If you know Mark Pope, you know that UK was and is his end goal.
Yes.
You know that was his end game. And so, you know, the fact that BYU, you know, was a stepping stone, a huge one for him to be able to get there, we were able to get, you know, a great 5 years out of him. So I don't feel any type of ill feelings whatsoever. I do find a little bit odd that he hasn't sent out a note or thank you or anything that's official. But again, this is the business of college basketball. And, you know, to focus on the second thing that you asked, I think Kyle Collinsworth made a point yesterday on Twitter that I completely agree. I don't know if I would have stuck with my love for BYU after my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. And the reason why I say that is because I was the freshman of the year. And then my sophomore year, you know, I had a heck of a game against Louisville and against Carolina. I doubled my points per game and rebounds. I would have made a bag in a portal. And in my junior year, I'm playing with the national team. You know, I was very high rated. I averaged close to 16-8. I don't know how I don't go to the portal and, you know, try to get, you know, 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 from NIL. And so from that perspective, I am grateful that NIL wasn't around, because what BYU means to me, I'm grateful that I never had to put a financial, a dollar sign or a dollar sum to it. Completely understandable why Dallin, Richie, and Ali Khalifa are in a portal. You know, to your point that you guys made in a previous segment, the way that BYU does things, my hope, Spence, is actually that we can get an answer by the latest at Wednesday night. I think that if we wait until Friday, two or three more people might jump into the portal as well.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Right. And so, but again, the way that we do things, and it's just different. I would say Dallin and Richie have a much better chance of coming back to BYU, because whoever is the coach, you know, and all my cards to be up front, I hope it's Chris Burgess. And I don't know if I can say this publicly, but, you know, Ben Bagley, if I'm not supposed to say this, I'm sorry. But I hope it's Chris Burgess. And the reason why I hope it's Chris Burgess is because he has been with the program. A lot of these guys were recruited by Chris. I see Chris on a Dave Rose, Kyle Whittingham type of situation where he comes to BYU from Utah. And I don't know if, you know, Utah comes knocking. If Chris is doing an amazing job, I don't know if he leaves. I think Chris is an amazing person, even better recruiter, and three times even better as a coach. And so my expectation is that Chris will be named the head coach. And then I think guys like, you know, Barrett Peary, you know, he's in the mix because he's a member. Also, guys, I will actually, quick question for you, turn the tables a little bit. I don't see it that the head coach of basketball and football at Brigham Young is not going to be a Temple caring, a Temple recommend caring person. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was instituted 3 years ago, JT, and I'm glad you bring up this point when Diljit Taylor was hired and she's done an incredible job with women's track and field and women's cross country, for sure, right? And so I was so happy to see that the verbiage of, look, this is a practice, not policy at BYU. When they made that official, it's like, oh, okay, it opened up the door for something like that. But yes, it would certainly be something to go with football or basketball, which are largely considered the big money sports at BYU, right, and not hire a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That would be another step for sure. I think there are enough candidates. Chris Burgess certainly applies. Barrett Peary certainly applies. Nick Robinson certainly applies. The BYU is going to find their next coach to do that. But I do like the idea of searching, and that the search can include members or that are not of the faith that is so prominent at BYU. Jason, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I would be very surprised. And again, not that it is a policy, but that's what we have always seen at BYU. And there are certain reasons why that is the way that it has been. And so I certainly would not expect them to deviate from that. My question for you, JT, is this. So whoever the coach is, if it's Chris Burgess, whoever it is, you've got these players in the portal. And obviously, with what BYU did in the Big 12 last year, just a remarkable season, just unbelievable. And you were hoping to be able to build off of that momentum going into year two. So whoever the coach is, day one, what's job number, what does that first day look like for the new head coach to try and keep the momentum that this team had last year going into year two?
A lot of chamomile herbal tea, because they're going to need to have a lot of patience. I will say this to your point, Jason, and I think you guys were talking about this before I joined. Dallin, Ali, and Richie, you know, probably about 5 or 6 wins BYU doesn't get without them, right? I will go even further that something that Richie said, and I've said a couple of times on the show, the experience, the ability to learn and to apply the things you learn and to have that swag of, I know how to walk into Allen Fieldhouse because I've won a game there. I know how to go to Baylor and play tough because we've done that. I know how to go to Iowa State and keep the game close. I know how to put Houston away when we play at home because we came close to doing it. So to me, not necessarily only, you know, their numbers, because they're all fantastic players, but also mainly the experience that they bring. In all honesty, I have a hard time thinking Ali Khalifa comes back, mainly because of how close-knitted relationship him and Mark Pope have. And so it wouldn't surprise me for him to go to, you know, Kentucky. It is odd that he's going to Louisville, but again, I don't know the particulars of that. But both Dallin and Richie were recruited when Chris Burgess was in town. And so, you know, and just a quick point, what we talked about, Sister Taylor has done an unbelievable job. We can go as far and say that she is the Lavelle, or that Lavelle is the Dil Jeet of football. I mean, you guys get what I'm saying.
Sure.
But to me, there's a big difference between track and field and basketball and football because of the things that you've pointed out. Now, if it is a practice, not a policy, you know, BYU will certainly be looking at Cody Fuger. I mean, he is due a big, big-time position. I don't know somebody that bleeds blue, you know, more than Cody. And so I think that if policy and not being mandatory happens, I think he goes into the mix. And so very exciting next few days. For BYU fans, I think in terms of next year in the Big 12, you got to be patient. You know, it's going to be a brand new roster. It's not going to be, you know, the musical orchestra symphony that everybody was on the same page this year. And so I think some people on Twitter made fair comments that I would agree. You know, this probably sets back BYU 2 or 3 years, and that's fair, right? I don't think this is negative on Mark Pope. This is negative on anybody. But it is true, because that means that Chris is going to, or whoever is the head coach, they're going to have to go and recruit, and maybe they're going to get, you know, by next year, the year after, they'll be able to get the pipe going, because BYU is not Kentucky or Carolina or Kansas or Houston, right? We are going to get some transfers, you know, NIL is you know, okay at BYU, but we're going to get some transfers. But the way that you're successful in collegiate sports is to have continuation. Think about all the times BYU has been successful in basketball with, you know, in the 70s and 80s with Chosich and then Mike Smith and Danny Ainge and Danny Tulsa and all of those guys.
It's been a core build.
Yeah, you know, and the way that you do it, you know, like all the way up to when I was a freshman with Trent, Lee, Jimmer, Jackson Emery, Kyle Collinsworth, you have to have continuity. So, again, no ill feelings towards Mark Pope, but this is something that does set BYU back a couple of years at minimum.
Cody Fuger certainly deserves real consideration. He's an unbelievable basketball coach. I think the reason we didn't bring up his name in the opening segment, JT, is because, frankly, I expect him to follow Mark Pope to Kentucky. I think Mark understands what an asset Cody is, and I would not be shocked to see that happen. But if he entertained the idea of being the head coach at BYU, oh my goodness, I would welcome that wholeheartedly if he were the guy or certainly part of that conversation. And we can continue. Hopefully we know like what's happening in the next 24 hours. I don't know that that's going to be the case. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of fans share your sentiment and like, let's get this thing done super fast. But JT, yeah, as always, we appreciate the insight. And I hope that we are discussing a new BYU basketball head coach by Wednesday at the latest. That would be fantastic.
Thanks, JT.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Jonathan Tavernari is with us on BYU Sports Nation, breaking down what has just been almost a surreal, maybe that's the best word to describe, a surreal weekend.
It's only been a couple of days, but it feels like we've been, it's been like a week or two.
Jason, I was looking at pictures last night of the BYU win at Kansas and taking pictures with Mark Pope and of Mark Pope, and I'm like, that was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That, what?
I know.
And now it feels like an eternity ago because he's now the head coach at Kentucky.
Yeah.
At a different blue blood.
Pretty crazy.
It's what a weekend for sure.
All right, BYU softball back at home hosting Idaho State tomorrow night. You can watch the game live at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Listen, I know Boys to Men, by the way, great band. Jason and I are huge fans. They said it's hard to say goodbye. But is it so hard that you just don't do it, and there's silence in the case of Mark Pope? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Boys to Men enthusiast Jason Shepard.
Hey, they're back on commercials now, I think, for like Chili's or Applebee's.
Well done. Well played by Chili's or Applebee's, whoever it is. Let's roll up today's headlines.
Three BYU men's basketball players have entered the transfer portal over the weekend. Guard Dallin Hall, center Ali Khalifa broke the news on Friday, while forward Richie Saunders entered his name yesterday afternoon. The three players accounted for almost 30% of BYU's offensive scoring last season.
We're down on bended knee. Please come back.
Well played, my friend. Well played.
BYU softball defeating second-ranked Oklahoma by a final score of 9-4 on Friday night in Norman. The first home loss for the Sooners in conference since 2017. This is also the Cougars' first road Big 12 win this season, second top five win of the season. And the Cougars, well, they lost on Saturday, but still, it's all about beating the Sooners on Friday.
BYU men's volleyball clinched the 3 seed for the upcoming MPSF tournament. The team will face the host and 6 seed USC Trojans, who they just faced at the end of the regular season. The opening match of the quarterfinals will be this Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern
time. BYU baseball losing in two very interesting close contests to Baylor over the weekend at Miller Park. The Bears beat the Cougars on Friday and in Saturday's wild 18-17 shootout, 18-17. Cooper Vest had a career 7 RBI, and the Cougars lost. The Bat-Cats back in action at home tomorrow, rescheduled because of weather, against Utah Tech at 8 Eastern. Watch it on the Big 12 now on ESPN+.
Speaking of BYU baseball, former Cougar infielder Daniel Schneeman continues to shine in AAA as he hit another home run and had 3 RBI for the Columbus Clippers, AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, in their last 2 road games against the Louisville Bats.
BYU track and field had a very busy weekend as they competed in multiple events. Joey Noakes clocked the third fastest 5,000-meter time in school history at the Brian Clay Invitational. In the Beach Invitational, Alyssa Keller earned the number 5 all-time mark in the women's javelin, Chase Clement taking the number 10 all-time mark in men's javelin, and Danny Bryant, first place in the shot put. Well done, Danny.
Yeah, certainly not the end of the road for them.
Oh, it's a Boys to Men show.
Men's golf tees off today at the Western Intercollegiate in California. The tournament, I'm not going to attempt that
name. Pasatiempo.
There you go. Pasatiempo, California. The tournament will be broadcast live on the Golf Channel and on Peacock beginning at 7 Eastern tonight.
Two former Cougs showed out in their UFL games over the weekend. Defensive tackle Tomasi Laulile totaled 2 tackles for the Arlington Renegades. And safety Kai Nakua had 7 tackles, 2 pass breakups, and an outstanding interception for the Michigan Panthers. They play in Detroit. Motown Philly, baby. Oh, let's go. Let's go.
I was trying to figure out a way to get that in myself.
Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
I am both outraged and so proud of you right now. All right. According to Boys to Men, it's hard to say goodbye.
Yes.
But no official goodbye from Mark Pope to BYU at this point. How do you feel about that?
You always want to have, like, you don't want there to be anything left out there.
Yeah.
And it just the unspoken goodbye, it kind of hurts, for sure. But I understand that some people just need, like, a clean break. It's like, nope, I'm on to the next. And so a lot of BYU fans are feeling like the jealous ex-lover right now, where it's like, after everything we did for you. I don't think that Mark has ill will toward BYU. I know that I've heard him say several times how much he appreciates his time and everything he experienced here, but it is a little weird. It's like this emptiness. Yeah. Like, just some closure. You want closure, yeah. Jason.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been something for BYU. And I know, look, there's still time where he can do that. There's been a lot on his plate over the last couple of days getting ready for that introductory press conference yesterday in front of 20,000. I'm hoping that there's something still coming, but yeah, I'm surprised there hasn't been something to this
I point. Thought for sure there would at least be a message to The Rock, because he had, like, this special bond with the student section, right?
Yeah.
And the fans. Like, he's always been so outspoken about how much he loves the fans. So a little weird. You want closure. It hasn't happened. And frankly, I don't know that it ever will. I don't know that it will. All right, on to the next. BYU softball. We mentioned their win over number 2 Oklahoma on Friday. Jason, does that make it the best Big 12 win of any BYU team to date?
Look, that was impressive, but I can't go there.
Really?
To me.
Really?
To me, basketball at winning Kansas. At Kansas. I mean, that to me is the one. And look, if Dallin Hall does leave BYU, we will always have the step back straightaway three over Hunter Dickinson. Okay?
Yes, indeed. The win at Kansas was historic. This is the Oklahoma softball team that is the defending national champion, that had not lost a conference home game in 7 years, Jason. They went undefeated last year and won the national championship. This is like BYU going to Alabama and winning in football. That is the equivalent.
Yeah.
Kansas was down just a little bit. Still, not taking anything away from that incredible win at Allen Fieldhouse. I was there. It was magic. This, on paper, to me, because of what Oklahoma is, they are a juggernaut. To win there and hand them the first conference home loss in 7 years, to me, that takes the cake. It's number one for me.
All right, friend of the program and BYU superfan Robbie Triano entered the portal last night. We're losing a fan.
When will the pain end?
How much NIL are you willing to spend to bring him back?
Robbie, I will personally send you a fresh cougar tail. I will pay the shipping, whatever it takes to get it in one of those fresh boxes with ice and whatever. I will personally ship you your own cougar tail. And you can devour it if you will stay a BYU fan. Please clip this off so that we can send it to Robbie. I'm dead serious. We already sent him swag.
Yeah.
But he didn't get a cougar tail. Like, if we send him a cougar tail, I think it's enough to keep Robbie.
You know who sent him the swag? This guy.
So you
know what?
You.
No NIL money. You got a tumbler. You got a hat. You got a sweater. It's a sweater.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes.
No, that's it. If the fandom's gone, I need the box back. That's the way I'm going to.
Wow, yeah. Jason, you're taking a real El Guapo approach here.
It's a sweater.
Robbie, Cougar Tail in the mail today. If you reconfirm your love and fandom for BYU, we'll send it out to him. Up next, BYU men's volleyball enters the postseason. Yeah, big week for the Cougs. At USC, Tyler Herget in studio to preview the postseason expectations. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Flex on them. BYU men's volleyball, big week. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B. We're over in the Cougar Council Room now to discuss things with Tyler Herget, who joins us from the BYU men's volleyball team. Tyler, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, how are you feeling about tournament week now that it's set and you know what lies in front of you in the MPSF?
We're feeling really confident. I think that we didn't really care who we were going to play in the first round. We just wanted to be given an opportunity, and I think throughout the season we've been faced with a bunch of challenges. We've had some ups and downs, and the coaches have been really vocal about staying steady throughout the season and climbing, and we can have our ups and downs here and there, but if we minimize them and keep them pretty small, then we can really utilize this in the MPSF tournament and make a run and go for it.
Realizing familiarity, it's on both sides of this matchup, mm-hmm. but does it help? Does it hurt? Are you indifferent on playing the team in the opening round that you just faced to finish the regular season? I mean, how do you guys look at that matchup having just faced this USC team?
We're hungry, I'll tell you that. Losing in five to them for the last game of the season kind of hurt us. But we talked about it later, and we all recognized that it was actually something very good for us to rebound, to have a really good week at practice this past week, and to really come out firing against them on Wednesday. And USC's, they're a great team, and they're going to be at home. They're going to have their fans there. Everyone else is going to be there, and we just know we need to come out to play.
You experienced victory against them the night before.
Yeah.
Do you know what victory tastes like against
exactly.
USC? And then, the agony of defeat in five
exactly.
sets.
Exactly.
How much does stewing on a loss like that really impact what you do as a team? Not just emotionally, but does it make you practice harder and go harder physically?
For us, I think so, because we have been pushing ourselves since day one of this season with roster changes, with people coming in and out. I think we've really come together as a team. So when something doesn't work out in our favor as a team, we come together as a team. We really put it upon ourselves to become better. And I think that that's really what has fueled us this past week in practice.
On a personal note, what has this season meant to you?
That's a good question. Personal note.
Yeah, and that's a transfer from Penn State.
Yeah,
you opted for BYU. You were at a good program where
yeah.
they have a good volleyball community, and there's great, respect
yeah.
for the sport there, but you chose to come to BYU.
Yeah, yeah. And realizing, that you're hoping there's a lot more volleyball to go. But to this point, what has this season been like for you?
I think it's been a great learning opportunity. The more I talk to Sean and the coaches who have played here at BYU as well, they're great mentors to all of us in helping us utilize our roles in the team. And for me personally, from transferring here, not knowing many of the guys, to becoming like a family here, I think that it's been a really great learning opportunity, and I've really developed my skills here as well with all the guys.
Tyler Herget is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Now, for those that aren't familiar with just how much you mean to this team, the first thing I ever heard about Tyler Herget, okay, from Sean Olmstead was, everybody loves Hergie, okay? One, are you okay with that nickname?
I am okay with that.
You're okay
nickname.
With the nickname
yeah,
Hergie?
I am.
Okay? And I was like, wow, that's
yeah.
really personal
wow.
there, Sean. Okay?
Has it always been Hergie? Has that always been the nickname?
It has not. Well, here it has.
Yes.
Here it has, yeah.
Okay? So it's Hergie at BYU. So you're okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay? But he said, when he's on the floor, everybody just loves him. He walks in the gym, everybody loves Tyler. So, and that's tough to do because you are coming as a guy that was on the outside and now
yeah.
is back in. I know you have family history here for sure
yeah.
at BYU, but what's that been like for you to be embraced the way that you have been embraced by this team as the quote unquote new guy?
It's been amazing. The guys were super welcoming. Being a transfer, it's a bit weird coming into a program where no one knows you and you're kind of then competing against them for a starting spot. So it can be kind of weird in that aspect, but I kind of set family history aside. This is my path. This is what I want to do. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it's been an awesome experience. All the guys were super welcoming. The coaches, they gave me an opportunity, and I snatched that right up.
Well, as Spencer alluded to, your family, there's a history. Your dad played football mm-hmm. at BYU. So what has that part of it meant to be at BYU where your family does have history, and now you can sort of swap BYU stories with your dad and family members? What has that aspect of being here been like for you and your family?
I've been able to connect with them a lot more. My dad, he's talked to me a lot about his experiences. since I've come here, and it's been eye opening to see how he worked for what he was able to achieve while he was at BYU, and what I'm able to work towards, which is kind of similar to what he was able to achieve.
Has he showed you all of his ultra pixelated highlights?
He hasn't, but I'll catch him every once in a while watching some stuff.
Tyler Hergen is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You've mentioned the unique challenge of some roster changes. Obviously, Trent Moser is no longer with the team. That's always tough to overcome, but you got to figure out how to replace that void. And so how do you feel like you are from a lineup standpoint going into the most important match of the season?
I think it's honestly better than ever, because as you guys have probably watched, we have so many guys that are able to come off the bench. They are ready. We've really emphasized this as a team, that we cannot win with just the six or seven guys that are on the court. We need every single one of them to come in and play their part. And so we have Noah coming in to serve, to set. We have John coming in to serve, to play outside. We have Ian Little. He's coming in to serve as well. We have a bunch of guys that are coming in to play as well. Whenever someone is having an off night,
yeah,
they are ready. And I think that regardless of the roster changes, it's so important that these guys are just ready to play, as well as the starters.
How has your role shifted as the season has progressed?
Obviously, I've played a lot more since the beginning of the season, and that was kind of just an immediate change in my role. But I'd say vocally on the court, being someone that touches the ball as frequent as possible,
yeah,
I take it upon myself to really calm the team down, bring us together as a team, and really focus on that, on what's ahead rather than what's behind and what's happened, because that's when we can really get in trouble. And so I think that the more I've played, the more I've talked to the coaches, the more they've helped me realize that my role might not necessarily be the biggest and strongest guy in the court, because I'm not that big, but...
No, but you make everybody else look good. You set them up, Tyler. And set being the operative
the
word.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
They
that's
can't
the
do their job until you set them up, right?
I do mine, exactly. Yep, 100%.
Everybody loves Hergy.
Hergy, yes.
Tyler, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the matchup against USC. Go make a run in that tournament, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for being with
us. Thanks for coming in. Thank you, guys.
All right, join us on Saturday, April 27th, as we broadcast a special BYU Sports Nation from Josie Ranch Athletic Complex in Dallas, Texas, at the Dallas BYU Fan Fest. We'll be live at noon Eastern with guests and fun from the Lone Star State right here on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
A home run of a Rise and shout out coming up next, plus your elite voice of the day. Does it include Boyz II Men lyrics? I wonder. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps, or listen to the podcast. And while you're there, please subscribe, rate, and review.
It's Mailbag Monday. We read your questions sent to us on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Do our best to answer them. In response, our elite question of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from @CL_living, friend of the program. Are there enough Cougar tails to entice Sean Farnham to get baptized and start coaching at his favorite school? This was brought up with Austin Colley,
yeah,
who said he got his monthly ministering assignment out of the
That's
way
right.
when he told Sean that two guys were going to show up and tell him about the church so that he could then enter the coaching hunt.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I think if you were to offer Sean one Cougar tail, or just give him like one. I don't know if there's a card that gives you a lifetime supply of Cougar tails, but whatever, you know, if that's an option, I think he may be up to it.
Okay. @CDShaw99. What are the chances the new head basketball coach stays long term? How much should we appreciate the commitment by Kalani to stay at BYU?
It's an interesting one.
Lavelle and Dave Rose and Bronco, they have spoiled BYU fans, because it's always like, oh, you come to BYU and you finish your career at BYU. You don't leave. It's like never been a stepping stone. But then when Bronco went to Virginia, even after 12 years, it was like, wait, what? And then Mark, after only 5 years, it's like, no, oh, no. It's kind of a changing dynamic. But we were spoiled, certainly, by Lavelle, and we're being spoiled by Kalani as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, and winning is going to help with a lot of that. But let's worry about getting the coach here. And getting that going before we start worrying about someone leaving.
Let's get the coach signed their new 4 or 5 year contract.
Can we not kick them out the door already?
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. One to BYU Softball for beating Oklahoma. And then how about this, Jason? To former BYU Sports Nation student and current Sports Information Director Zach Hunter, who's running the Boston Marathon today.
Good luck today, Zach.
You got to qualify for it just to get in, and then it's real commitment.
I can't run to the end of the block without stopping.
Good luck to Zach. Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari and Hergie, Tyler Hergen.
We love Hergie. Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to former BYU men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess. This is BYUSN. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs!